And welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
I'm thankful you tuned in to the broadcast again this time. We're picking up our study here in Matthew chapter 18, the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18, verse number 21. The Lord Jesus has just told about the way to help, the way to deal with offenses and controversy in the church. He's laid that out. And there are those that believe that the Lord didn't start his church till the day of Pentecost. We see not the starting of the Lord's church on the day of Pentecost, but the empowering and the public sanction of the Lord's church. The Lord's church is well in existence, is in existence well before Pentecost, as the Lord Jesus built his church out of the building material that John had initially prepared. Those saints that were saved under the preaching of John and baptized by the baptism that he was sent to administer, they proclaimed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not baptized to be saved. They were baptized because they were saved. Another token in the scripture, another example, another an ordinance that would become for the church, and to show forth what had happened to the sinner, how that they identified with Christ and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And so that's what baptism typifies. It is not salvation. It tells about salvation, because baptism is a work. Baptism is a first work. And we know, if you know anything about the Bible, you understand that sinners are not saved by their works. They're saved by the graciousness and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection, his shed blood for them, and their faith in him. Some people want to take and push faith into a work, but faith is not a work. Faith is faith, a total reliance upon the Lord, resting in him, that all the promises that he has made are true, that he will take his gospel, that he will take his blood, and he will apply it to the sinner and their sins, that the sinner that believes in him. And so, confusion on this part, but the scripture makes it clear to us what it's all about. So the Lord not starting his church on the day of Pentecost, but actually empowering it and publicly sanctioning it, he did it right there in the midst of Israel, in the headquarter town, the capital town of Jerusalem, where the Lord made it very clear that through his church he would be working. His church would be the pillar and ground of the truth. His church would be the holder, the king, keys of the kingdom, having taken such from the nation of Israel, to whom the oracle of God, the word of God, had first been given. And so that's the significance of Pentecost, is for the Lord to show in a miraculous way that this is his church, this is his body, this is his institution. No longer will he use the nation, but for this time of the Gentiles, this church age, he will use his churches to be the stronghold, the holder forth, and the preserver, the container for the word of God. You want to know about God? You go to one of his churches. That's the job of the Lord's churches indeed. And so the Lord giving instruction here about how his children in his churches are to deal with offenses, they've already have this instruction. They've already got a treasurer. They've already been told that the Lord will be building his church upon himself and not upon a man such as Peter. And so it's evident that the Lord's church is at hand during his ministry. He's building her while he ministers in that 3 years before the completion of his gospel. He comes here and tells them that the size of his church can be down to two or three. And where two or three are gathered together and in the line and the authority of the Lord's church and that succession of churches to churches, having the baptism, scriptural baptism of the Lord that was given to his first church as he obtained it from John. And he says, where two or three are gathered together, there am I in the midst of them. And so churches can become very, very small. And the Lord makes that clear. And so he's teaching that to his disciples and to us. In verse number 21 of Matthew 18, then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. And so the Lord, having spoken about offenses, brethren supposed to work that out first. If they cannot bring witnesses from the church to discern and to determine the issue, if the offended party or the one that has the controversy that's bringing it to light, they may be right, they may be wrong, but if they will not listen to the witnesses and their judgment, then they're to bring it to the church. And if that person will not hear the church, then they're to be added to them as an unsaved person, not someone to shun, but someone to witness of the gospel unto. And so Peter picks this up and he says, okay, Lord, give me a count. Peter's a man that wants to know the count and the points. He wants to know where he stands. He wants to know, he wants to do well and wants to do right. And so he says, if my brother offend against me, sin against me, and I forgive him, in a day, is seven times enough? Eight is too much, but seven times, is that enough? And the Lord comes back to him and says, no, until 70 times seven, 490 times in a day, Peter, you are to forgive your brother that sins against you. And we need to be and understand, some will say, well, they haven't asked me to forgive them. I understand that. There's a public recognition of forgiveness and repentance that needs to be dealt with in a right way. We need to be, as the Lord's children, we need to be a forgiving people, a charitable people, a merciful people, a gracious people, as our Lord is. It's by our actions in these regards that will be known, it'll be known that we are the children of God. But then the thing is we need to be like our Lord Jesus Christ, who is of a forgiving spirit, from the get-go. When we are offended or sinned against, as we see here, as is indicated here, we need to forgive even before they ask for forgiveness. Oh, Brother Jim, that's just not so. The Bible doesn't back that up. Indeed, it does. Remember the Lord Jesus as he's being hung on the cross of Calvary. And he's nailed to that tree and put up in that tree, is that pole post is put up there in that hole in the earth, and he's suspended between heaven and earth. He declares unto them, before them and unto the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. These that were crucifying him, the chief priests, the leaders of the Jews, the Gentiles, and represented by Pilate and the Romans, the centurion and his soldiers that are under him, under this death detail, the Lord Jesus declares unto the Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't even know what they're doing. They don't have an inkling of understanding that what they are doing to me is evil and wicked and wrong. They just do not know, Father, but please forgive them anyway. And so we have that example of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even those that would offend us, would sin against us, not even knowing what they would do. If our cause is just, we understand we can take up a position that is not right, is not according to the Lord. But if our position is just, and we are indeed being sinned against and offended and maligned and reviled and so on, as whatever the case may be, Our attitude needs to be into the Father. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we need to be of a forgiving heart. So Peter receives from the Lord here. We receive from the Lord here 490 times a day. I don't know how that works out minute-wise. Off the top of my head, I can't recall how many minutes are in a day, but I'm thinking it's probably about every 5 minutes or so we need to be willing to forgive. Verse number 23, the Lord Jesus says here, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And when the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, he and loosed him and forgave him the debt. So here the Lord Jesus, in regards to this of forgiveness, says how it is to be and how it is in the kingdom of heaven. He tells about this certain king that had a steward that was responsible for a great sum of money, 10 talents. 10,000 talents, it says here in verse 24. And so this is reckoned and to be understood as being unpayable. There is no way that this man could ever, in a position that he is in the stewardship that he has, would be able to pay 10,000 talents. If we understand what a talent is, it's what a man could carry for a day. In that day, and so a talent could range anywhere from 60 to 120 pounds. And if you took 10,000 talents of about anything, especially something such as precious metal, silver, gold, even in that day, if it would be salt, it was an unpayable debt. And that's the way it is with you and me. We have an unpayable debt of sin. And that's what the Lord is saying here. He's declaring one aspect of this is telling about the great unpayable debt that you and I have in our sin and our transgression against God. Oh, no, don't look at another and say, well, I know somebody that's done worse than me. No, don't be tempted to do that. See, the point is you've sinned against God and you are accountable before God. Each and every individual person, each and every individual soul is accountable unto the Lord. And that means you. That means you and your few sins, as you would reckon it, or the sinner that we would know, the drug addict, the drug dealer, the prostitute, the extortioner, the gambler, the criminal, the murderer. Oh, yeah, they have their sins too that they're accountable before God. But one sin makes us guilty of all the sins that there are. That's how bad sin is. And the Lord must reckon it. The Lord must deal with it. It must be reconciled against the justice and the judgment of God. So, what do you and I need? Well, we need what this man did. In the account here, he besought his Lord, he worshiped him, he fell down, and he says, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Now, there was no way that this man could pay, and there's no way that you and I can pay. And so the Lord makes it clear, understand this is a parable to lead us to understanding about forgiveness. Rather than saying that we should pay, we need to repent of our sins, to admit that the debt is ours, that we are guilty, as this man did, and to repent before God that we are sinners, we are committed to sin against Him, we are guilty of our transgressions against Him, to repent and to believe in His way, and that His Son came, lived, suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again, that a sinner like you and me could be forgiven of our sins. The debt paid by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, come down to be a man, become a man, and that He did so for us. May the Lord help you to know forgiveness of sins through the Lord Jesus Christ. I see that our time has passed for now. May the Lord bless you with the good word and truth of His gospel. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast.
We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn on to State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you'll find our church house on the right, just beside Whipple Reel Creek. We are interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-3954. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.